is United States versus Robert Quinlan, appeal number 08-1388.
May it please the court, Mr. Cox, John Taylor for Mr. Quinlan from the Federal Public Defender of the Central District of Illinois. We have a relatively narrow issue here, and it's whether or not the court committed clear error when it declined to award Mr. Quinlan 2 points for acceptance of responsibility.
I must say, I thought that after Booker we would get a lot fewer appeals in these sentencing cases. The last case we just heard denial, a 2-point enhancement for sophisticated means. This one, a denial of 2 points for acceptance of responsibility. And here it looks to me, you can answer this if you can, that Judge McCluskey says, I'm not going to give you acceptance of responsibility here, and he gives his reasons. But then he says, I will impose the same sentence whether I give you acceptance of responsibility or not. So if we are to say, really, you were wrong, judge, to do that under this very deferential standard that we have to review, where's it going if the judge already says, I will... I think that's a good thing for district judges to do in an advisory guideline atmosphere now, to let us know what the judge would do had he granted or denied one of these arguments regarding either enhancements or deductions in calculating guideline range.
Your Honor, that is the argument made by the government in their reply brief. I'd like to address Booker. After Booker, we had Gall, and Gall clearly said the trial judge must, not may, must properly compute the sentencing guidelines before imposing the sentence. So I believe that that takes us out of that realm where a judge gives below 262 on a 262 to 327 career offender and says, well, I've looked at the criminal history, and I think that for career offender it's overrepresented, so I'm going to go 210. That case under Booker and Gall, judge wouldn't be here. It'd be an Anders brief. If you look at the Mount case, which I remember is the baseball tickets case the government cited, it does say in there, Your Honor, that if the trial judge gives an alternative reason or rationale, say, for instance, in this case, Your Honor, he would have said, you know, I don't care if there's acceptance of responsibility or not. That's irrelevant to me. I'm looking at 3553A factors and those below, and I'm fine. I'm going to give you 262, whether you're 262 to 327. Or 210 to 262. The devil's in the details, Judge. The devil's in the details. What was the reason he gave, Your Honor, when he pronounced that sentence? What did he first say about this case? First, he imposed a sentence of 262 months on that guideline range of 262 to 327. Then after the fact, Your Honor, after he imposed the 262, he says, you know, in meth cases, I sentence at the high end. Well, Judge, that would have been 327, or a little bit less. So when I give you the 262, which is the bottom end, as opposed to the 210 to 62, I'm really not giving any sentence that I would have if I had 210 to 262. That doesn't make any sense, Your Honor. If you're saying you sentence at the high end in meth cases, and his rationale was is how destructive meth is to the body and other things, Your Honor, with which I agree, if you sentence to the high end, if that's your rationale, and then you come down and say, even if it was 210 to 262, I would have given you 262. That doesn't make any sense. It would have been 327 if he correctly calculated the guidelines. And some of the cases, Mount doesn't help us quite so much, Your Honor, because there was a clear alternative reasoning. But if you look at the other two cases, Your Honor, Anderson and the other case cited by the government, in those cases, one, Your Honor, the trial court judge used the wrong edition of the sentencing guidelines. And what happened there was they were disputing whether or not it was the amount of loss, Your Honor. And the court said, yes, when we look at it, the amount of loss computed by this trial court, it was wrong. But it doesn't make a difference. Because if the judge would have correctly used the 2004 sentencing guidelines, it would have been enhanced anyway. It would have been the same range, and this judge sentenced within that range. So there, Your Honor, the range didn't change. The other case, Your Honor, is a case on the criminal history points. The judge gave him 2 points because of imprisonment. The judge thought that the electronic monitoring was imprisonment, so he gave him 2 points for that. Seventh Circuit says no. Electronic monitoring is not imprisonment for the sentencing guidelines. But what the judge could have ruled on and didn't was that since he was on electronic monitoring, within 2 years of being in prison, he gets the 2 points, so it doesn't make a difference. That's not the case here, Your Honor. The case here is the court was required to consider whether or not Mr. Quinlan was honest and truthful in admitting his conduct. There's no discussion in that record about whether he was honest and truthful on the facts. The court candidly told us at the sentencing hearing, I don't remember Mr. Quinlan. I don't remember his change of plea hearing. I have no idea what he said back then. And, you know, that is one of the things we look at very carefully. What did the defendant say at the change of plea hearing? I'll be candid, Your Honor. I was there. Look at the record. The defendant did equivocate, but the trial judge didn't consider that when he sentenced. What did he consider, Your Honor? Here it is Friday afternoon before a trial on Monday. We've got jurors coming from Kankakee, Danville, Decatur, Paris. We've got the government fully prepared. And you pull this last minute come to Jesus, Mr. Quinlan? The court was focused on conservation of judicial resources, an appropriate factor. Conservation
is an appropriate.
Certainly is an appropriate factor, Your Honor, under the case law. Conservation of prosecutorial resources, clearly an appropriate consideration, Your Honor, but nothing else. Nothing else whatsoever. And one of the keys, Your Honor, to acceptance of responsibility is, were you truthful? Did you admit what you did? Judge McCuskey didn't consider that. He didn't consider that.
Now, what did your client show to show that he accepted responsibility beyond pleading guilty? Obviously, he pled guilty. But
in all candor, Your Honor.
It's your burden to show that, isn't it?
In all candor, nothing.
So,
in all candor, nothing. He pled guilty. His allocution, Your Honor, was nothing notable. What he said in allocution is that I had this car accident in 1993. I was home. I got bored. I got hooked up with these meth guys. I got addicted, and I think his exact quote was after that, Your Honor, it went downhill thereafter, which, of course, is a considerable understatement, Your Honor.
So what else was there for Judge McCuskey to consider besides those judicial resource issues?
Your Honor, the burden is first on us to raise some facts, some matters that would entitle us to acceptance responsibility. We have production. They have persuasion. And if the court did not accurately compute the guidelines, if he didn't consider a factor in the first instance, Your Honor, truthfulness, then how could we ever have a proper and meaningful computation of the sentencing guidelines? He didn't even get to that point, Your Honor. And I say that with all due respect. This is a judge who I appear for every day. He has an incredible caseload, and that he is able to remember any of us surprises me. This is not a criticism of our trial judge, a fine judge, Your Honor. But he has to go back first and look at what factors under acceptance responsibility are we going to look at. Never got that far, Judge. We never got that far in this particular case. The difference between 262, take it down to 210, is about 4 years. You might say, well, he got 262, 21-year sentence. The best he could have done is 210 under the other guideline if you got the low end, a little over 4 years. What's 4 years for a guy that's going to serve 17 or any alternative 21? It's a lot to the guy who's serving, Your Honor. Thank you so much. If no questions, I will relinquish the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Cox. Thank you. Good morning, Your Honors. Richard Cox on behalf of the United States. I'd just like to follow up on what you began with, Judge Evans, and that is, in this case, this is one of those sometimes rare cases, but where the sentencing guideline range overlaps. The top of the lower guideline was 262. The bottom of the guideline that was ultimately computed was 262, and Judge McCuskey imposed that sentence. And when you go with the precedents in this circuit, the question is, if there was an error, do we know that the judge might have done the same thing, or would he have imposed the same sentence? And what this court has asked is the best evidence of that, and how we know that is if the judge tells us so. And I don't think if you read this transcript, you could come away with anything, but Judge McCuskey has assuredly told us in this case that he would have imposed 262 months on Mr. Quinlan, regardless of whether his guideline range was 210 to 262 or 262 to 327. So right there, if nothing else, if you determine that Judge McCuskey somehow made an error, which we don't believe he did at all in calculating the range, it would go back for a resentencing. The government would point out the transcript. It would say, Judge, you said you were going to impose a 262-month sentence on Mr. Quinlan originally. Whether or not you gave him credit for acceptance of responsibility, nothing has changed, and Judge McCuskey is going to impose a 262-month sentence again. So that is classic harmless error. There is no, there would be no point in sending this case back to the district court in view of the record in this case. But more importantly, Judge McCuskey didn't make an error. He calculated properly the guideline range. What Mr. Taylor argues is that somehow, because Judge McCuskey didn't say other factors influenced his declining to award Mr. Quinlan acceptance of responsibility, somehow he didn't consider it. Well, he concludes his remarks to Mr. Quinlan when he sentences him by saying, you didn't accept responsibility, you continue to blame everyone else, you don't understand the harm you're doing to other people, let alone to yourself. There clearly were other factors going on, as we pointed out in our brief, and I don't think I need to elaborate them. In this case, Mr. Quinlan equivocated at his guilty plea. He challenged frivolously the amount of drugs for which he was held accountable, and he never offered any remorse, never offered any acceptance or responsibility, never said he was sorry, blamed other people for his predicament. If that's not lack of acceptance of responsibility, quite frankly, the preceding case where the judge said, if this wasn't sophisticated means, then I don't know what it was. If this wasn't lack of acceptance of responsibility, then I don't know what that is either. If the court has no questions of me, then I'll yield back the balance of my time. Thank you.
Anything more, Mr. Taylor?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay.